glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, February 8th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. We pick up our conversation today with Jeff Siegel. He's the founder and director of Go Global Ministries. We had Jeff on a few weeks back. He uses sports to reach the nations for Christ. Jeff was raised in a Jewish home on the north side of Chicago, but came to know Christ as his Messiah in college. He continues his story with now the conversion of his brother and how his father reacted.
So I went on my first organizational mission trip with Global Sports to Cuba. And that was in December. We brought a really nice baseball program, and many got saved on that trip as a result of our testimony through sports. And when I came back in February, I asked my brother, "So how are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I have this shalom peace in my heart." He said, "Things are great. Things are great in my family. I am experiencing the peace of God." And he said, "Will you do me a favor and will you tell Dad, you know, what I have done?" He said, your personality is more outgoing than me. He said, "At a future time, I'll be ready to sit down with Dad and go over this." But he said, I'd like a little space. But he said, he needs to know. Will you do it for me?" I said, "Okay." Now, remember when I had called my dad 26 years earlier, but my dad had softened toward me to a degree. There was peace among us. Things weren't exactly the same as when I was growing up, but we had some form of relationship. So I called my dad and I said, "Dad, it's Jeff. I have some news for you. After a careful examination of the Hebrew scriptures, you know, your youngest son has made the same decision as me." And I thought I was going to get booted off the phone again, but I received the shock of my life. My dad said, "You know, your baby brother has made a great decision." He said, "I see the peace that's in his life and the changes." And he said, "Jeff, will you forgive me for what I did to you years ago?"
Oh.
He said, "I thought you stopped being Jewish." He said, "But today I realize you're more Jewish than me." And he said, "Is there anywhere in the scripture, Jeff, in the Bible, that Jesus said to his disciples that he was the promised Jewish Messiah?" I said, "Oh, Dad, it happened many times." He said, "Before the 12, it was like the moment of truth. He said, 'Who you say that I am?'" And I believe Peter probably spoke up for everybody, like with one voice, and said, "You are the Moshiach. You are the Messiah. You are the very Son of God." And Jesus didn't deny it. He said, "Well," he said, "flesh and blood did not reveal that to you." He said, "But my Father in heaven." Donna, the next thing I know, in the background, my dad was crying. He said, "You know, all these years, Jeff, somebody's been calling out to me." He said, "I did not know who it was." And my dad was thinking, "Am I losing my mind?" But he said, "Today, Jeff, I know who it was who's been calling to me." And I said, "Dad, do you believe that Jesus is the promised Jewish Messiah?" He says, "Yes, I do." He said, "Will you pray for me today, like you pray through sports for adults and kids all over the world through your ministry?" I said, "Dad, it would be my honor." So in February of 2002, my dad gave his life to Yeshua. He walked on fire with the Lord for 3 beautiful years. He was baptized at my friend Neil's home after a men's Bible study. It was so beautiful. And we never even talked about baptism. We just went jet skiing and pontoon boating, and my dad walked out and caught us and said, "Hey, guys, you're forgetting something." And we all said, "What are we forgetting?" And he says, "I need to be baptized." He was like the Ethiopian eunuch. "Water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And so Neil baptized him, and I was on my dad's right-hand side. It was so amazing. And My dad walked on fire for Jesus for 3 years. He went with my brother Bruce to a messianic congregation, and then my dad was able to forgive all the things that Gentiles did in the name of Jesus to Jewish people, and my dad actually began comfortable enough to go to Gentile church. But my dad was able to make the full transition and to have good fellowship in the body of Christ. And then I believe it was around 2005 that my dad just went to heaven.
Amazing. Reminds me of that beautiful verse, how Jesus destroyed the hostility, the barrier, and he made the two one.
Yep. I never thought that that could be possible in the life of my father when you said talked about the hostility, because he came out of a generation, you know, of Holocaust, pogroms, the stories he heard from my grandpa. I just never thought that my dad would be able to overcome that, even through truth. But the scripture says nobody comes to the Son unless the Father draws. And it really is true. The Bible doesn't lie. Corrie ten Boom said, "There is no pit so deep that Jesus Christ isn't deeper still. There is no problem unsolvable for the Lord." And a problem that seemed impossible was solved by the Lord when the Lord himself visited my father, took the scales off of his eyes, and brought what I would call a season of prevenient grace, and opened up understanding about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and the kingdom of God.
That's amazing. It is so encouraging to hear people respond to the call of the Lord in their life, regardless of their situation or their heritage, but to respond. Let's talk about your ministry. So you were very proficient in playing baseball, and that's kind of how God used that ability and that interest to draw you to himself through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And then after you came to know Christ, talk about how then you were used of the Lord to communicate and launch a ministry surrounding sports.
Well, there was kind of a lead-in through the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Church and a ministry called International Sports Federation. I became friends with their organizational president named Cheryl Wolfinger. And Cheryl actually was a great college basketball player. She knew my background being Jewish and also playing college baseball. And she said, "Jeff, I have an amazing opportunity for you. It's got your name written on it." She said, "We want to bring a group of baseball and softball instructors to a place close to the Netherlands in Germany." And she said, "There is a pastor from America, from Knoxville, Tennessee, who is doing mission work in that city of Cloppenburg. And his son asked them if they could play baseball." And so the father would just kind of like play in the backyard with him. But his son wanted like a little league kind of fix. So they started like a club team of men that his son could play on that team. And then they also started a club team of women who could play fast pitch softball. And they were like college and careers age. And Cheryl said, "We want to send you and a team of maybe 15 people. She said, "Jeff, because of the extensive background that you have in baseball, and you're a professional instructor with the Doyle School of Baseball, which is a professional baseball school, we'd like to send you over as the lead instructor, and you know how to share the gospel as a believer. So we want you to do this." So when we went, what an amazing place in preparation right there in Germany where the Holocaust had happened. Mm. I was curious how you know, the German young people and culture would accept me as a Jew and a believer. They were very, very warm toward me. It was an amazing, let's say, week and a half. Listen to this, but that baseball team went from being in last place with like no instruction. I fine-tuned the pitchers. They had a couple guys who were from Japan who loved baseball. And so they were very influential of me using them, you know, foundational because they understood the game. Here's something about the Germans. They are very, very intelligent people. They like board games like chess. You know, they like to think things through. So baseball and softball was like a big chessboard for them. They really like the whole analysis, you know, of each position, the analysis of hitting a baseball, the analysis of pitching a baseball, the analysis of getting in position to field and to throw. They just couldn't get enough of it. While I was there, I came back multiple times, and then the pastor actually moved his church from northwest Germany to an area very close to Munich. And he more than doubled and tripled his church in size because of sports ministry. So that's when I got the revelation of how God could use baseball is a platform to share the gospel and help pastors to make disciples. In the year 2001, the door to Cuba opened. There was a pastor there with four house churches and a handful of kids. I was invited, and through the U.S. government, I was given special licensing. We became an official nonprofit in the spring of 2001. Before Christmas of 2001, we were on our way with a team of 13 people into that situation. We were in a tournament. We did well. And over 100 Cuban players gave their life to Jesus, either on a ball field or church. And they were baptized in the ocean. At that time, there was about four house churches and a handful of kids with the pastor I was working. Donna, as we speak, 22, 23 years later, we have 110 house churches.
Amazing.
I saw Fidel Castro's youngest son, who is an orthopedic surgeon and the vice president of baseball for the whole nation of Cuba, give his life to Jesus right in front of me. He, being an orthopedic surgeon, actually skipped out of his surgeries. He came and he played on my team. And after our first doubleheader, but then after the doubleheader, we sat everybody down. And right there in the stadium, I allowed a few of our guys to share their testimony. But then when they were done, I shared the gospel message with the crowd and all the players. And when I was done speaking, I said, do you know how we got here today? We got here through what's called a vehicle. A vehicle is something that brings you from one place to another. I said, so we came here by a car. We came to Cuba on another vehicle. It's called an airplane. I said, if you want to go to the moon, the vehicle would be a rocket ship. I said, can anyone here tell me the vehicle to get you into heaven? One person said, be a good person. I said, no, that's contrary to the Bible. The Bible said there is no such thing as a good person. The Bible says, on God's account, there is nobody who does good. No, not one. In other words, because we all are born into a sinful life, God cannot look upon our sin. Therefore, we need a sacrifice. And I said, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to become that sacrifice for us. He didn't love the world. He so loved the world.
Yeah.
God loved the world so deeply. And even though we were sinners, he desired to redeem us. God sent his son to be a free gift of salvation, free to us. But I said it cost him everything. For the first time in eternity, God the Son was separated because he took on in one moment all the sin of mankind. I turned to the crowd. I said, that's very deep love. I said, so if you should die today, where would you go? I said, you can have that answered, because if you died today without knowing Jesus, you'd be separated from God forever and ever. God doesn't say, oh, this guy's a good guy, or his good outweighs the bad. It doesn't work that way. You've either put your faith in the promised one of God, or you reject his son. The next thing I knew, I said, if you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart, please raise your hand. 11 of the Cuban players raised their hand, and Antonio Castro, who played on my team, the son of Fidel Castro, his personal doctor, confessed Christ in front of everybody.
Amazing.
Mm. I was blown away. And after that was all over, I went up to Tony and I said, Tony, do you understand what you have done? He said, si, mi amigo. He said, my heart's so happy.
Oh.
My heart's so happy.
Wow.
And, you know, I said to myself, does this guy really understand what he's done? So we played another game. We shared again. He played on my team again. And then after the second time, instead of me going up to him, he came running to me, put his arm around me. Listen to this.
Mm.
He said, baseball important, but this more important.
Wow.
I said, wow, this guy, the very son of Fidel Castro, his favorite son, because he was a doctor and a real good doctor, orthopedic surgeon, vice president of baseball. Jesus Christ, at that moment in time, became Antonio's number one. What a chicken skin moment, right?
Yeah.
The goosebumps were so high, it might have taken bottles of calamine lotion to reduce those goosebumps. But so that was what catapulted us into sports ministry. And from those beginnings in 2001, 2002, we went from four house churches to today, we have 110 house churches. We have church groups, Christian college baseball teams going with us to Cuba. The church that we're working with has found favor in the eyes of the Cuban government, and they are able to start businesses in Cuba. Things are changing, and the church is showing itself a faithful servant of the Lord, and there are those within the Cuban government who are saying, these kind of like me, these people are sincere, and they are not an enemy of the government.
Mm-mm.
And we can coexist together. So Cuba kind of served as a template model for me, because we were doing sports, we were doing humanitarian aid, we were doing medical and bringing doctors. One of the things that we would do in our program is we would do a lot of home visitations. And when we would do that, we would share the gospel with the husband and wife, whether it was an apartment or a little house. And all of a sudden, so many people started getting saved and offering their apartments or their little houses to be house churches. But there was one problem. They had no theological background to do house church. So I began to bring pastors, theological professors from seminaries to Cuba with me. And for 22, 23 years, we were doing pastor training in Cuba, where the pastors got very strong theologically up even into this day. And so now we are getting ready to develop other ministry hubs in other cities in Cuba. But as we're speaking, new doors began to open up for Go Global Ministries in countries like Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, Nicaragua, Ecuador, an amazing opening came for me in the year 2020 to help Filipino pastors all over the country with theological training. I was invited by a Filipino pastor in Queens, New York. I spoke in his church 2 to 3 times on the Feasts of the Lord, the Spring Festivals, the Fourth Festivals, and he liked it so much in January, February of 2020, he invited me to speak in 5 cities. And while I was there, God revealed to me a great revival was coming to that nation. A great, great revival, a staggering revival. And when COVID hit, instead of it pushing me back, through Zoom, I would meet with pastors and train them. And we would do Bible studies, and we would do mentoring and theological training and pray for one another. So instead of going and being, you know, entering back in is somewhat of an unknown entity, I became known through Zoom all over the country of the Philippines. So when the door reopened in April of 2022, I went to the Philippines, traveling from city to city, speaking in revival services with extraordinary miracles happening in front of my face.
Wow.
I knew this was not my doing. I knew that the Lord had gone up before me, and people were getting saved, people were being revived, and people were being awakened who didn't know Jesus. So many people were coming to Jesus from city to city, and it's continued unto this moment.
Thanks again, Jeff, for sharing with us your heart for the Lord, your heart for sports, for just ministry. And now if someone wanted to get in contact with you or your ministry, how can they do that?
They can contact me through Jeff@goglobalministries.com.
Yeah, Go Global Ministries. Just Google that and you'll be able to see just the amazing amount of effort that's being poured into different hubs, as you call them, around the world.
They can also call me if they want. I don't mind them calling my cell phone, 678-595-1931.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.